What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
So I am in New Orleans over the weekend. I was out on Thursday and Friday because I was at a DJ convention, which is almost a parody in itself. That there's a convention for this industry to teach you how to do this is funny to me in itself.
We're trying to be sophisticated.
It's not even that. Either way. It's just a whole bunch of DJs kind of like one-upping each other and yak-yakking at each other.
Do you wear name tags?
Yes.
You do?
You certainly
so
do.
There's like, you know, Slammin' Stevie and yes. Shotgun Sammy.
Absolutely. It's absolutely like that. So I'm out on Bourbon Street on Saturday night, and I went into the weekend with the intention of, look, you know what? Maybe I'll have a couple of beers. Maybe I'll get a little itty-bitty buzz on, but you know what? I'm just getting to the point now where I really kind of feel like I'm over it. Like, I'm just over it. And I had those two things happen over the last 6 months, which have really slapped me in the face and have just said, look, dude, it's time. It's time to retire and get out of the drinking industry, okay?
Wow.
I was at Vision months ago for the closing, you know, before they did the renovation.
Is that when you got hit with the beer bottle?
Yeah.
And then you were there for the opening.
Yeah.
And they took you out on a tray?
Well, Stacy, I look like a wounded soldier. I mean, Stacy, literally, my wife carrying me out of Vision. And then I get home, it's 3:30 in the morning, and I'm, you know, I smell like cigarettes, and I can't go to sleep, so I go in the shower, and I end up throwing up on myself in the shower.
So where do you want to give up then?
You're just taking
I'm just like over it.
You're just taking a look in the mirror from a sober perspective, looking at yourself drunk, going, you know, I'm not sure I like that guy anymore.
Right, and I mean, to be honest with you, like the last couple of times it's happened, I just don't enjoy the feeling of being drunk as much as I used to.
That's good.
So I'm just starting to curb it a little bit, and New Orleans is just a really bad place to try on a new attitude of drinking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got to put up with a lot. I mean, that's why, you know, at clubs like that or in party places like that, that's why people party, because you got to put up with stuff like long lines and, you know, crappy sugary drinks like New Orleans with all those hand grenades and those, you know, yards of fruity...
and not to mention New Orleans just smells like feet.
Smells bad.
It's worse than feet.
Sewer. Yeah.
Feet is
that's
the least
true.
Of your concerns because literally the sewer runs right underneath Bourbon Street and it rains every day. They had the same thunderstorm problem there that we have here. And when the street dries up and it gets humid again, it smells like you are in a prostate. I mean, it's awful, dude.
It's a great town to go to if you're ready to throw down and party.
I had my bachelor party there, and I had a blast. That was years ago. But, you know, I'm just slowing it down now. So as happens when you're slowing down, you're drinking, and you're with a whole bunch of people that are drinking. Mm-hmm. And I've been this guy, too. I'm guilty of beer pressure. Like, if you're drinking a lot and the guy with you isn't, you feel like you have to find out why or start to get him drunk. So I run into a guy from Boston who's uncomfortable with my non-drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him why. I told him about the Vision nights, you know, the throwing up on myself in the shower. And the bottle to the head. And he goes, oh, you know, I went through a time like that also. I was visiting my family who just had a newborn in Boston. And the baby at this point was all of about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months old. Well, they get a sitter for the night, and he and the father of the baby and the mom all go out, and they go and they get their drink on. And they all come home, and it's like 2:30 or 3 in the morning, and this Boston DJ is like, I just want to take a look at the baby one more time before I go to sleep. I just want to take a look at your cute baby one more time before I go to sleep. So he goes into the baby's room and is looking at the baby and is so drunk that he ends up throwing up in the crib.
Oh! No. Yeah. No, he did not.
Throws up in the crib. And
are the parents standing there with him while he does it?
And mortified. Obviously mortified. Yeah, they're there because they're all checking out the baby.
Oh.
And there are just times where you just want to take a look at the baby one last time because he's so cute. Yeah, he throws up in the crib and obviously panic. Everybody starts to panic after that. So that was his, look, I'm going to curb my drinking moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. So we want to know for you guys, what is the straw that broke the camel's back with your drinking? Hey, John.
No, I started drinking real young, and I've had my girlfriend, who is now my wife, for several years. But one night we were over at some friend's house out in Tucker, and I actually got real drunk for her for the first time ever because she'd never seen me drunk, and I did, and I told her best friend that I loved her to my girlfriend's face.
Oh, no, dude.
Yeah, I looked at my girlfriend and said, I love Karina, and I got in a lot of trouble for that.
Oh, of course. Oh, my God.
Well, she's going to be all sensitive about it and stuff. Need her.
Okay, I had about 22 Jaeger bombs at this point.
22?
Yeah, you know, it's just like a shot of Jaeger and a shot of, like, Red Bull or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be dead.
Where did that comment come from?
Do what now?
Where did the comment come from? I'm like, you focused on a friend. Where did the comment come from? Like, had you thought about that friend before?
No, not really. I just went in her friend's bedroom. She was in there with her boyfriend, and it kind of just accidentally slipped out. I have no idea. I was just...
There's some truths that come out when you're drunk, though.
You don't know what's buried deep.
That's a whole different topic right there.
I told these guys that last time, you know, when I threw up on myself in the shower, as I was crawling into bed, I start spewing out all this really dark stuff going on in my mind about being a father and my dad, and I didn't even remember saying anything about it, and I woke up the next morning, and my wife Stacy's like, I really think you need to go see somebody about some of the things that you said last night. You never know what's buried inside there until it's after.
Alcohol doesn't create it. It just found it.
Yeah, it's buried. Hey, Mary, you're on All the Hits Q100. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, I have to preface my story with this. I'm 5'2", about 130 pounds. Alcohol tolerance when I was 21 was like one wine cooler. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey! It's bad. Okay, so we go out for a night of drinking, and I have maybe four or five drinks at the club. Mm-hmm. We end up going to a friend's house. I make a tray of Jello shooters and do them all by myself, like two cups of vodka. Mm-hmm. And then we were chugging beers and taking shots and playing strip poker. I ended up probably having 17 Smirnoff Ice and maybe like seven shots of peach.
And you're 5'2"?
And I'm 5'2", about 130
people
pounds.
Should be dead, man.
I know. And so we're in a one-bedroom, one-bath apartment. So I hear somebody start to throw up, and that's it for me. I run to the bathroom, and I'm told that I hog the toilet for 9 hours. No. I wouldn't let anybody go to the bathroom. I wouldn't let anybody else throw up. So I wake up in the morning. I'm naked. I'm covered in a towel. There's a used condom on the counter, and my boyfriend's asleep behind me. After that, for next 2 days, I don't remember a thing.
At least there's your boyfriend in the bathroom. I said, at least there's your boyfriend in the bathroom with you.
That's a wake-up moment, though. That's a wake-up moment right there, man. I have known guys that have decided they, in the fraternity, I mean, when you're like at the height of your drinking, that have done like the group throw-up thing in the same toilet that stopped drinking after about, after that for a couple of months. But back then, you bounce back from it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Morning, Shannon. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Good morning.
Hi.
I, of course, stopped drinking and started drinking again after this incident, but my friends and I decided, for some odd reason, to, after drinking a bottle of Southern Comfort, bring Burger King French fries to the mayor of San Diego's house, at which point I delivered the French fries in the form of vomit in his front yard.
You threw up in the mayor's front yard.
Yes, it was Roger Hedgecock, if that tells you how long ago this was.
Roger Hedgecock was the mayor back in like the mid-80s in San Diego.
Now, see, that story changes depending on how old she is. If she's 21, it's funny. If she's 41, it's pathetic.
Not so funny, right? Audrey, you're on All the Hits Q100. Hi.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Okay, well, this was 2 weeks ago, and I was at my best friend's wedding. I was the maid of honor, and this was in Macon. It was a huge wedding, about 500 people at the reception. And the wedding got over about 2 o'clock, so the wedding party decided to go drinking at the bar across the street. And it was all good. Then we come back to the reception, start doing shots, and by 7 o'clock, I am completely trashed. So I was sitting there, I was smoking a cigarette, and all of a sudden, I had to throw up. And I'm in the middle of the bar. It was a huge open area, and I puked everywhere. And it wasn't just puke, it was projectile vomiting. And it went all over everybody, all over the bar.
Exorcist-like.
Exactly.
Head spinning.
So horrible. I mean, I was in the bathroom. I couldn't give my speech. I was in the bathroom all night.
So this is your best friend that was getting married?
Yes, and I was the maid of honor.
Oh, no.
I mean, family was there.
No.
Girl for 13 years. I know her whole family.
How long did you stop drinking after that?
Well, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't drank.
We're gonna see how
we can do it.
She said it was 2 weeks ago. Man. We'll see how you do.
Yeah, we'll see how next weekend goes. You know how it is.
All right, thank you. Talk about stealing the spotlight out of the way, man. Good morning, Shay. You'll be the last call. What's going on?
Good morning, you guys. How are y'all doing today?
Good. Thank you.
I'm so excited. I've never actually gotten through to you guys.
And now you get through to tell an embarrassing story. Perfect.
Yes. Well, this actually happened about 5 or 6 years ago. I was in college, and we decided to go get some tequila and take tequila shots. So, you know, I'm drinking my shots. I'm drunk as a skunk by this time, and I had to get carried to my bed. And I wake up. And I get out of the bed and I see a dump of doo-doo on the side of my bed.
No.
And I look down, I'm like, what's going on? I have it all in my sheets and my feet.
Oh, no.
And obviously, I've mistaken the pail for that was laying beside my bed for the bathroom and I take a dump.
No.
So welcome. I was so happy nobody else was in the house. I was in the dorm. And I had it everywhere.
Oh, my God.
How long was it before you had your next drink?
Oh, it was weeks. And to this day, I do not touch Cuervo Gold tequila. I would not touch it.
Yeah, you pooping on yourself in the house. That's a pretty good indication. Maybe you need to look at what's going on.
Oh, you're squishing poo between your toes and your sheets.
Again, yes. 6 months, cute. You know, 36, pathetic.
Yeah. Shay, you can't hide sexy. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
The Bird Show.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is a little bit of the phone call that we had with Charlie on Friday. And this is him on the voice disguiser.
The worse the groom, the better chance I have.
Okay.
Because if the groom is someone like really terrible that the bride's marrying, everyone feels, you know, like the girls feel like, God, you know, at least I'm not marrying him. You know, we're just, you have someone like really, you know, not so great to compare yourself to. Especially if you can make fun of the bride and the groom, you know, behind their back. That's always like sort of a turn on for some reason for the girls.
All right, so you're heading out to Tennessee when?
I'm headed out tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow?
Tonight I'm going out, but the wedding's tomorrow.
Okay,
so we can check back with you on Monday morning. And if you had to give yourself odds on if you are going to do well this weekend at this wedding or not, what odds would you give yourself?
Oh, I give myself pretty good odds. I mean, number one, it's a large wedding. It's out of town. Yeah, totally. And I look good.
Do you have a story already in your mind of who you're going to be at the wedding?
I'll probably be a really nice guy type of thing, you know, sort of like a little shy maybe. I mean, it's like my sister's friend's wedding, and so they're younger, you know. I'm a little bit more successful than a lot of them. I'm sort of like a good catch, you know, type of thing. But maybe I'll just be like a little self-effacing or, you know.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Charlie, we'll check back in with you on Monday morning. I will tell you that you got a couple of people in here a little skeptical, but we'll check back in with you on Monday morning around 7:30, see how you did.
Oh, yeah, it's a sure thing, man.
Okay, it's a sure thing.
Sure thing.
It's a sure thing, man. All right, Charlie now back on with us on the voice disguiser.
Yep.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Well, the first question, even before you tell us how you did this weekend, because we're all pretty much believing that you're going to say that you did very, very well.
Oh, yeah.
What was your story going into the wedding? What persona did you put on?
Well,
I didn't put on a persona. It was still just me. Like, I had mentioned something. I just heard the voice disguiser, and I sound like an Oompa Loompa. How come we can't make me, like, now I sound like a creepy guy, you know, with his Oompa Loompa voice.
Well, you sound like, I think it's the material more than it is the voice disguiser, you being a creepy guy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't any story. My sister was there, so I couldn't make up too many stories, you know. It was her friend who was getting married.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just, you know, my typical suave self.
I can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's dripping through the speakers. So what happened?
You know, the problem with this is that if I called and said that I didn't get laid, then you would believe me, I guess. And then if I said I did get laid, then you wouldn't believe me. So, but I did get laid.
You did?
Yeah. You know, and of course you're going to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Now, I'm curious because you said it was a sister's friend getting married. Now, there's the possibility that there would be a lot of people you already knew. Was this a total stranger that you were able to get lucky with?
Yeah, it's someone who I really don't know.
Okay.
Before. It was the bride's sister.
Okay.
Oh.
She was... Yeah, and I think she's the one. I think I'm really in love with her. I'm going to stay with her forever.
Was she the maid of honor in the wedding?
Yeah.
And she's not married?
No, she's not.
She's not involved or anything, and her sister was the one getting married?
Yes.
So is that prime target number one right there?
Yeah, I should get extra points for that, but, you know.
She was, like, really mad that her sister got married before her.
Especially
no, actually, and she was, you know, she was a little bit of that, but she was more pissed off at the other maid of honor.
Oh. Other maid of honor.
Yeah, she's
sometimes there's two.
Tacky old friend of the bride's and of her sister's, and she didn't think that she should be the maid of honor, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't make fun of the bride and groom, but we sort of made fun of the other maid of honor.
What? Did you say that this was an older sister or a younger sister?
I don't even know.
I bet it's an older sister.
If a younger sister's getting married before you,
easy target. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, she was really just beautiful. I mean, she was stunning.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
That's all you have to say to her. You know what? Honestly, you look so much better than the bride. Then she's yours.
Exactly. Your sister looks like, you know, junk.
So when did you start working it with her? Like, when did you pick her out and start working it? Was it Friday? Was it Saturday day?
I met her the night before the wedding, really briefly. And I thought she was, I mean, totally. There's, like, her and, like, two other girls who I was, like, really interested in. And then the next day, you know, we saw each other again, and we just sort of laughed and, you know, and she was already going. I heard that my sister was telling me that she was going in on the other maid of honor. So I thought, yeah, there's my entry point.
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of there's my there, entry point.
Now, it's a military operation. So what I did is I moved in with a shock and awe.
Right. Let me ask a question, because one thing that you talked about last week that sounded a little offensive was, you know, making fun of the bride and groom and making fun whatever, and that's a good way to get into the conversation. But I'm thinking in this scenario, like, did you use any tactic like that to...
Well, yeah, the tactic that we used like that was making fun of the other maid of honor, but not the bride and groom.
Not the bride,
that probably
of course.
Wouldn't be too cool.
Right.
You know?
So, did she drink a lot at the reception?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much?
How much did she drink or I drink?
Her.
Oh, and she drank the worst junk, too, man. She was drinking, like, mojitos and then a martini or something. I don't even know what she was doing to herself, but it was fine, really.
You didn't care.
I mean, but she wasn't... I don't take advantage of anyone who's passed out, but if they're drunk, it's all right.
I'm sure you were forcing
that makes
them down.
That makes you a gentleman.
Exactly.
No. Oh, I didn't, you turned us around.
I didn't think you were classy. Yeah.
When she's unconscious and you don't do her, oh, man.
What a guy with a heart. No wonder why they fall for you.
You have such a soul.
So the bride and groom leaves. You blow the bubbles, throw the rice or the bird seed, or, you know, let butterflies go or whatever, and the bride and the groom leave. Then
Game
what
on.
Happens?
They didn't leave. They stayed until the end of the reception.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, we just hung out a lot, you know. We hung out, we danced, we had a good time. It was a little touch and go there for a while, but, you know.
You weren't sure you were going
to
get in there?
I wasn't so sure I was going to get in there. And by the time we got back to her room, which was much nicer than my room because she was staying in, you know, the sort of family suite type of thing.
Oh, sure.
It was already like 4:30 in the morning, so it had to be quick, you know.
That's your excuse anyway.
Right.
I just did it for you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for the
really appreciate it.
I changed my ways, but I thought I had to prove something.
All right, Charlie, thank you for calling. We're not sure if you're telling the truth or not, but we just got to go with what we hear. So thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a great week, guys.
Bye, Charlie. Too. Check away. Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
I've been talking about, I guess, the past couple weeks, even summer vacation. I spent my summer vacation while we were off staying at home in my townhouse, because I've been there a couple years now and trying to get the last things done, the last rooms painted, last shelves hung. There's little irritating things that you always stare in your house and it's not done and you're frustrated. One of the other things that was kind of holding that up that I did also is my father had passed away a few years ago. And one of the things I inherited from him was his library collection. And my father is an avid reader. And it was just this year that my brother was able to finally haul all the books in his truck and get them down here to Atlanta. And so I was sorting through them because I didn't keep all of them. I donated a lot of them. And one of the things, you know, and it's cool. I mean, he had all kinds of where he liked mysteries and Westerns and all the stuff. And there's, you know, some travel books. And one of the cool things is one of the travel books that he had is actually a travel book that I've bought. So it's kind of weird that, oh, my God, you know, my dad and I bought the same travel book, didn't know it. But my mom was down over the week we were off, and she was helping me sort through the books. And so we were going through the books, and then I just noticed that it started out with, we were sorting them in different boxes, and she would just go ahead and stack them and put them in the boxes and then pack the boxes and then shove them to the side. And it was just pretty like, pretty fast going. And then I noticed, though, that she would slow down a little bit, and then she would like look at a book and sort through the pages and then put them back. And so I noticed, I mean, you just kind of sense when someone's vibe has changed a little bit, mm-hmm. even if though they're not saying anything. Well, it ends up that some of the books, he had travel, Western, mystery. He also had medical books, and she had gotten into the collection of medical books. Now, again, my brother had packed all these books, and again, he had a library, so mom didn't necessarily know, obviously, every book he had. And so a lot of the books that he had had in the medical part had to do with sexual activity in older men, sexual dysfunction in older men, just a lot of books about sex. And mom was fascinated by this because obviously it was not a concern that she shared with him, you know,
so that he shared with her.
Or I mean that he shared with her. And so she was confused. I mean, they were married for 51 years. So she was confused because when you're old, like he passed away when he was in his 70s. And for those who are, you know, are not aware of, you know, people in their lives that are older, especially for men, that is a concern for them when they're older, especially if they have heart problems. My father had a heart attack, and men who have heart attacks, usually that is something they're not able to do anymore after the fact. So
it's not even an older person thing, really.
when you're in your mid-30s. No, I'm just kidding.
Always there in the back of your mind.
privately, Bert wants to know where this book is.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
next time you need help cleaning out your house, just let me know.
Exactly.
I'd be glad to come on over and move some boxes for you.
Yeah, exactly. But the fascinating thing, though, was the fact that she felt like she knew him, but yet this was something about him. She didn't know how much of a concern this was for him. So it was interesting to see someone after the fact that he was gone, she learned something new about him after he had passed away, but simply by going through his possessions.
Yeah, 404-741-1005. This could be really interesting. Like what you found out about somebody that you didn't know after they died.
Right.
And so, I mean, you can't do anything about it at that point, obviously, but just to know like the shocking things that you should have known while they were alive, or maybe even not have known.
Because the thing is, because we don't think about it, but when someone passes away, like all their possessions have to be divided and sent and gone somewhere. So someone has to come, like when you pass away, someone has to come into your home and clean every single thing out because something has to happen in your home. You know, if there's nobody you're leaving behind, they have to sell the house. They have to, you know, if you're renting, whatever. So you have to think about every single possession you have. And there's not very many people in your life that know of every single thing you have, mm-hmm. you know?
Here's one that's quite a bit more morbid than that and quite a bit more sad. But after Stacy's aunt died of ovarian cancer, everybody found out afterwards that she had never gone to a gynecologist in her whole life.
How do you find that out afterwards?
I think medical records and stuff like that, like they're backtracking and all that to try to trace where maybe they had missed it. Never had one exam at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So what are the things that you found out about somebody after they passed away? Good morning, Crystal. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Hey, my dad passed away a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And after he died, me and my brother had gone to his mother's house and we're going through some old pictures and stuff of him that we may have wanted to keep. And found out he had been married twice to two different women before my mother.
Oh, and you didn't know that? No one knew that.
No one knew that. Except his mother.
That'll shake things up a little bit. How did your mom take that?
My mom was just kind of, you know, I called my mom. We were on our way home from my grandmother's, and I called my mom. I was like, why didn't you tell us this? And she was like, I didn't know that.
Whoa.
Wow.
That'll set you back a little bit.
Yeah, and so I kind of dropped the bomb on my mom.
Oof.
How did she take it though?
I'm curious. Like after you told her and she had a chance to calm down and regroup a little bit. I mean, that's a pretty big part of somebody's life, especially if she went through her entire life thinking that she was the only woman ever in his life.
Well, like she kind of, it was a shock to her. But he was also in Vietnam, and it was back in his Vietnam days, and that was something that he didn't talk about. He didn't like to relive those days and everything that went on in his life back then. So I think, you know, mom was just kind of like, you know, I wish you would have told me, but at the same time, I think she kind of understood that, okay, that was back when he was in, you know, Vietnam, and he never talked about that part of his life. He never really liked to discuss, you know, what went on and all that kind of stuff. It was just kind of part of his life he tried to block out.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that would, that
that's
would
a big
take
secret.
Me, that's a very, very big secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for calling, Crystal.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that one's huge right there.
Yeah. Wow.
Good morning, Susan. You're on all the hits, Q100.
Yeah, my mom actually passed away a few years ago, and she was pretty high up in the CDC group working on infectious diseases and epidemiology. And when she passed away, we had no idea what she had actually accomplished, and we got this huge box from CDC about all these journals she had published and all these different you know, different types of diseases she had researched, as well as like different ways to cure them and treat them. And we had no idea.
That's cool.
My dad went through a similar experience with my grandfather, actually. I remember this, that my grandfather was kind of like my dad, kind of like a really, really hard guy, you know, like didn't show a lot of emotion, kind of abrasive and just very kind of coldish, you know. And after my grandfather passed away, my dad got a call from the city in which my grandfather passed away in, saying that they were building a monument to him because of all the public service work that he had done in that town. So even today, there's like this big old plaque on the side of a building. I mean, he was helping out all these, like build playgrounds and underprivileged children and stuff like that. Yeah. My dad had no idea. It's just something that my grandfather never talked about.
What town is that in?
It's in Long Beach, New York.
So can you go there and
you
see?
You can go there and see, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, Harold Weiss, there's a monument to him.
Very cool.
Good morning, Jara. You're on all the hits, Q100.
Good morning. Oh. My grandmother, at her funeral, we found out that she had taken care of three families. My grandmother was on Social Security at the time, but had helped pay their rent, buy them food, take care of the children, make sure they had school clothes. And she had done this up until she died.
Wow. We've heard similar stories like people who've passed away here in Georgia where once, the, you know, they lived in such, you know, very basic house and it looked like they didn't have much income at all, but they had been saving their money when they died. They had millions to give away to universities and stuff.
Right.
You know, it's just fascinating.
Good morning, Charlene.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're on the Burt Show.
I found out when I was 14, this is like 8 years after my grandfather had died, that my grandparents were never married.
Huh. Really?
Right. I had no idea. I had uncles, and it was always like, oh, that's your grandfather's friend, but it was actually his son's. Like, I just recently, in the last month, found all three of my uncles, and they're all so excited that I finally figured out that they were my uncles.
Oh, cool. That's scandalous, too.
Yeah.
Did they wear
back in the day, it was, you know, back then, it was my whole grandmother's family cut her off because she was with my grandfather.
Yeah.
Who was actually married to another woman.
Okay, that's the one.
You wouldn't give him a divorce.
Did they wear the wedding rings and stuff while they were alive?
Well, I always knew my grand, you know, they both had the same last name, but they never, you know, I, when you're 14, you don't really look at people's wedding rings.
Yeah, I guess not.
Really figured out, you know?
That's wild.
Yeah. Thank you.
I just remembered that we found out after my grandparents passed away that they never owned the house that, like, everybody grew up in, like my mom and all of her sisters and brothers, like that house, like it was a rental from the woman who owned this little store next door, and that nobody ever knew that.
Wow.
Like they paid rent for like 50 years on a house.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, you're on all the hits, Q100.
Hi, my name is Eldora.
Morning.
I found out it was very similar. My parents were never really married, and I did not find out until my mother passed away. Even when she was ill and I was having to fill out papers for her, she even gave me a date that they were married and a judge who married them.
She held
and all
on
of that,
to that
stuff. But they were never married, and I had to face my father and ask him eventually after my mother passed, and he didn't want to tell me, but he did tell me that because Social Security wanted to know, and he had to let me know that they were never legally married.
Is that right?
He had his name and everything. It's all on my birth certificate, and I'm to be honest, I'm 56 years old, so that was way back in the day.
Yeah.
And I just tell you, it kind of floored me. It never would have mattered to me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my mother thought it might.
Right.
Unreal. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, to be in your deathbed and still hold on to that, obviously, is that important,
you're
you know?
That close to your chest. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Hey, Bert Show.
Hi.
I found out after my grandmother passed away, my dad grew up in a family. It was two boys and two girls, and his youngest brother, Rick, was quite a bit younger than everybody else, only to find out that it actually was his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
His my grandmother's sister, so my great aunt had an affair while her husband was in Vietnam.
Oh,
and
Vietnam,
and was too, you know, obviously didn't give up the child. You know, didn't have an abortion and ended up giving it to his, you know, her sister.
So the sister took the baby and raised it as her own.
And raised it as her own. So he was in the family. So it all came out after my grandmother passed away when all of the everything was being divided up in the estate.
Wow.
Now, did the great aunt's husband come back from Vietnam and find out about it?
Well, he came back and just to see that he had a new nephew.
Mm-hmm.
So he was gone long enough to never know that his wife had had a baby.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah, my dad was pretty devastated too, but you know, nonetheless, he was.
Yeah, and you're so helpless at that point. There's nothing you can do about it.
No.
You find out something like that.
See, every generation there's scandal.
Hey, awesome. Kelly, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bertha. How are you guys doing?
All right, thanks.
Good. I found out that my grandmother was gay.
Really? How?
Yes. It came out through one of my cousins, and the whole time when I was little, Aunt, let's call her Aunt Sally. She was actually her girlfriend, and she had been living with her for like years, like 30 plus years. And I just thought that was a friend of hers, mm-hmm. and it was actually her girlfriend.
Hang in. Mm-hmm. I mean,
your old maid Anne is really a lesbian.
Yeah. That'll make your knees buckle a little bit. And, I mean, it's rarely talked about now in public. So back in the day, I mean, nobody said a word
scandal.
About it. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. If you have a relative, a female relative who's much older, who's never been married, wink, wink.
You
just
know
saying.
What's up. You know.
You know what's up.
Hey, The Bird Show.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.